defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To find out more about the program, Hank Hanegraaff, or other highly recommended resources to be better equipped with answers, go to www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
With a reminder that Satan packages and repackages the lie ad nauseum, ad infinitum, Kabbalah is a classic case in point. It's a form of Jewish mysticism that is being packaged and popularized for Western consumption. Leading the red string craze are celebrities like Madonna and Demi Moore. In the final analysis, Kabbalah is just one more dish in a smorgasbord of popular religions that distort the true meaning of Scripture and oppose the gospel of Christ. Kabbalists, they search for mystical meanings and messages in the Torah that allegedly have power to remedy personal and social ills. Indeed, Kabbalists believe that through the Kabbalah, the unfettered communion with God experienced in Eden can be regained. And for that reason, Kabbalism has more in common with the esotericism of Gnostic cults than with Orthodox Christianity. Their dualistic and ultimately unknowable deity bears little resemblance to the God of the Bible. Unlike the God of the Kabbalist, the everlasting sovereign of the universe is perfect in unity and simplicity and has ultimately revealed himself through the person and work of Jesus Christ. Kabbalah holds to reincarnation, and that can never be reconciled with the Christian hope of resurrection. The biblical teaching of one body per person alone demonstrates that the gulf between reincarnation and resurrection is a gulf that can never be bridged. Far from the transmigration of our soul into another body, Christianity holds that Christ will transform our body like unto his resurrected body. That is the hope of Christianity. A hope that no other religious system can match. A hope not just for time, but for eternity. I give answers to questions like these in a book called The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Well, a lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our callers now. First up, Donna. She's listening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Donna.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I'm calling because I have really grown to like Glenn Beck, and I've been watching him every day on television, and I know that he's a Mormon, and recently he's been talking a lot more about God and religion. I don't think I've heard him say anything that is contrary to Scripture so far, but I do realize he is involved in false religion. And so I want to know, is it wrong of me to allow him into my home via my television, given that?
Well, I think what you really need, and this is what we talk about on the Bible Answer Man broadcast all the time, is discernment skills. We need to learn how to discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. And if we don't have those discernment skills, then we need to learn them before we start listening to Mormons, because he does bring his Mormon perspective into his broadcast. For example, we received a call the other day right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast from someone asking about comments that Glenn Beck was making about President Obama. And he was talking about, and I think played a clip of President Obama talking about collective salvation. And in responding to Obama, you find out is that he responds from the worldview of Mormonism to refute Obama. So you have error compounding error. You have error on the part of Obama being compounded by a Mormon perspective that Beck brings to bring a corrective to Obama. So the waters really get muddy by the time you're all done, and most people don't know what to think, unless they have developed a keen sense of discernment.
Okay.
So the issue is discernment. You want to develop discernment skills. You're going to need them as long as you're a Christian. That's the whole purpose of this broadcast, to help people discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light so that you can see the fault in the premise of an argument.
Well, and as like I said, as of yet, and you may have heard something or I may have missed an episode, but I hadn't seen him or recognized anything, and maybe I'm lacking some discernment there that I did not think was scripturally based. However,
well, I just gave you an example of him bringing this notion into his discussion when he plays an Obama clip and then corrects Obama.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then I definitely missed that. Well, see, now that answers my question, because I feel like, you know, if I have that discernment and if I can correctly identify something as not being scriptural, then, you know, again, I have to bring myself back to, with or without discernment, if I know somebody is preaching a false gospel, do I need to just cut them out completely, or can I continue to watch and continue to discern?
And again, the answer is it depends on the level of discernment that you have. If you've got good discernment skills, you can eat the fish and spit out the bones. If you don't have good discernment skills, the bones may get stuck in your throat.
You know, I think it's hard for a person to determine whether or not they have good discernment skills. I mean, even coming from someone, you know, who does read the Bible daily, I mean, it's even hard for me, let alone most of Christendom out there who doesn't read the Bible daily. It's a scary thing.
Well, here's how it works, though, and I appreciate that you are committed to reading the Bible daily. That puts you in a unique category all by itself. But here's the thing. You need to become so familiar with truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. So the moment someone starts talking about a Mormon view of preexistence or a Mormon view of eternity, immediately you know by contrast that this is not a biblical worldview. And this is something that you progressively learn. I am afraid that Christians, while they should not be microcosms of the culture, but change agents in the culture, oftentimes are being conformed by the culture and not even aware that the culture is shaping us into its mold. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 says, "Therefore, my brothers, do not conform yourselves to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that comes daily through what you're doing, becoming so familiar by being in the Word of God that you can't be confused with a counterfeit. And again, this discernment starts by knowing essential Christian doctrine. I did a little flip chart on that, Donna, and that gives you those main and plain things. And that's what we're really concerned about, the main and the plain things. You know, the secondary issues we can debate vigorously, but the main and the plain things, the very doctrines for which the martyrs shed their blood, if we get that rooted into our minds and our consciousness, then we're going to be able to discern deviations from those essentials.
Okay.
Fair enough?
Yes. I guess I'm concerned. I'm concerned because, you know, Satan is so sneaky, and he can take truth and just stick a little tiny lie in there and just build on that lie until people are lost. And I feel like, you know, unfortunately, the one of the few people that we have in this country that, you know, politically and is able to speak religiously on national television is somebody that believes in a false doctrine. And I wonder how many people watch him daily and don't see those things and don't have that discernment and, you know, are disgusted with the politics and disgusted with lack of religion in our nation and in our politics and are unfortunately going to be led astray just in a different direction.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And I love what you just said. Satan never presents the error in its naked deformity. If he did, we'd never bite into the apple. But he gives us the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. And so oftentimes it looks good, but yet it can be very dangerous.
Okay. Well, I'm going to continue to pray for Glenn Beck.
So. Well, good for you.
Thank you so much.
That's the thing to do. Reach, not repel. Good talking to you, Donna. Want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Michelle. She's listening in St. Louis, Missouri on KSIV. Hi, Michelle.
Hello there.
Hi.
Thank you for your program. God bless you. I appreciate your labor of love and giving us the truth and just searching out all the things that we may not have the time or even the knowledge of how to search them out. I thank you that you're a resource there for me.
Well, you got it. It's my privilege.
I have a couple of questions, I guess some comments, and I just want you to comment on them. Are you familiar with John Bevere's teaching, particularly his Driven by Eternity? That's one. And then one of the teachings that I came across in there, which kind of I just had an issue with it because I believe differently according to the scriptures, that one can take himself out of the hands of God. And my concern when I heard that was that the question that begs for the answer is this a true or genuine Christian? And the premise is that, you know, we can take ourselves out of the hands of God when clearly the Lord said that no man can take us out of his hands. His Father, who is greater, no one can take him out of his hands, even us. So I want you to address that. And then also another one that came up is that once a person's name is written in the book of life, it can be removed. I don't see that anywhere in the scripture, and that's basically, I guess, by that person rejecting Christ. Again, to me, the question that begs for an answer is this a true or a genuine Christian? Because we can always see the outside works, but only God really knows the heart if a person is really saved. So even if they've been operating in the church and appear to be a true Christian or whatever, and suddenly they just turn away, I have an issue with that. Even though they have like years under their belt, my question is, were they really truly saved? And is this just a case of being backslidden? And were they just, you know, periodically turned from the Lord? And so I just want you to address that. And I understand where the scriptures say, and I just want to get a little more clarity on that.
Well, let me deal specifically with that to begin with. I think you're absolutely right. Outward appearances can be deceiving. And Judas is the quintessential example. For 3 years, he was part of Christ's inner circle. From all outward appearances, he was a true follower of Christ, yet Jesus characterizes Judas as a devil. And the book of Hebrews warns us that there were Jews who, like Judas, tasted God's goodness and yet turned from his grace. They acknowledged Christ with their lips, but their apostasy proved that their faith was not real. And I think, too, we should remember that everlasting life means just that. It means life everlasting. This life does not begin when we die, but when we embrace the Savior who died in our place. Our physical birth can never be undone, so too our spiritual birth can never be undone. Christ said, ye must be born again, not ye must be born again and again and again. So that's why Paul praises God for the confidence that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. So I totally agree with your point of view. But John Bevere in general is a typical faith teacher, what I call a word of faith teacher. And I've written about that in a book called Christianity in Crisis 21st Century. He teaches Christians should have total prosperity. He runs with false teachers like Benny Hinn and Marilyn Hickey. And he says God is restoring the prophetic to turn the hearts of his people back to him. And his whole notion of the prophetic is decidedly unbiblical. And again, I deal with this in principle in the book Christianity in Crisis 21st Century.
Okay, well, thank you so much. You just confirmed a lot of what when I heard these things, and I just really kind of had a tweak in my spirit about, I don't believe God is going to give us something like that and then just take it away. And then, so the whole thing came back down to me, was the person really truly saved? And I do understand where you're coming from in Hebrews, where these people might have had an intellectual knowledge and have been around the works of Jesus and the faith, but they never really truly embraced him or faith in him for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I thank you for clearing that up.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Of course, Scripture is replete with passages that testify to the security of the believer. A classic case in point, John 5:24 assures us that he who believes has eternal life, not might have or could have, but has eternal life. Ephesians provides the surety that you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing, says Paul, our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So God's trees, I believe, are certainly evergreen. I've written about that in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, more answers to your questions. Please stay tuned.
If you appreciate Hank Hanegraaff's passion for the Word of God, then you need the Legacy Study Bible, which is designed to help you leave your legacy as you journey through the pages of Scripture. Hank's love of Scripture has also led him to produce Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, a book that deals with the aberrations so prevalent in today's churches and equips you to be able to discern truth from error. Hank would like to personalize a copy of the Legacy Study Bible, or for a limited time, a special numbered leather-bound edition of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, for your generous gift of $250. To receive a personalized copy of the Legacy Study Bible or the limited leather edition Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return in a moment. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Is the Antichrist alive today? Will the temple be rebuilt? Are we living in the tribulation? What is the mark of the beast? Is Armageddon just around the corner? These questions and many others burn in the minds of millions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. Yet the secret to understanding the last book of the Bible is not current events or recent history, but within the rest of the Bible. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions. Much more, it reveals why answering them correctly matters so much today. Yet it does not offer another model of the end times. Rather, it presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code unravels the mystery of current and future events and paves a path in Scripture interpretation. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org. or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI.
God spoken? As a Christian, knowing the answer to this question is essential to defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, we want to equip you with the wisdom to answer this question decisively and to remember the answer for a lifetime. Passionately delivered at the 2010 National Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, Hank Hanegraaff's message titled, Has God Spoken?, definitely answers that very question. To support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and request your copy of Has God Spoken? On audio CD, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Well, now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone calls now. Talk next to Laverne, listening in Ogden, Utah. Hi, Laverne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. Good talking to you.
Thank you. I would like to know if it's against God for Christian women to enlist in the military, and I'd also like to know where you can find that answer in the Bible.
Well, there's nothing wrong with being involved in the military. I think make love, not war, is a false dichotomy, because true love protects the innocent against the evil of an aggressor, and that kind of love sometimes leads to war, and therefore armies are necessary. If military action is not allowed in order to maintain order among nations, then police should not be permitted to maintain the order of a nation. So I think it's a leap of logic to allow the police to resist a murderer and at the same time not let the military resist a murderous nation. Wars are permitted by God in the same way that divorce is, because of the hardness of our hearts. And so I do not subscribe to the notion that people cannot be involved in the military. Now, as a woman, I would be very cautious as to what place or position you have in the military, because I do think it's degrading to women to put them in the battle front. I don't think that is a good place to put a woman any more than I would ask a woman to guard the paint in the NBA.
Okay, so I guess basically if I were to enlist in the Marines, that would basically be a sin?
Well, I would be very careful that you respect your femininity and that you respect the fact that God has made you different from a man, and that God has made men to protect and honor women and not to put women in harm's way, but rather protect women and children. So that role, I think, is significant. And I think as we become more and more politically correct, women are being objectified and used in ways that a biblical worldview simply does not permit. Women have been empowered by a biblical worldview. Unfortunately, we're going back into a pagan worldview, and so women are walking back into shackled objectification, unfortunately, and thinking by being in the Playboy Mansion or on the front lines that they somehow or other are increasing their equality. In fact, they're detracting from the ontological equality that God gives to women.
Okay. So where would you find that in the Bible where God doesn't want women to, I guess, be in combat or front?
Well, I think you can look not only at a biblical worldview, but you can look at the fact that by way of role, you're going to have a difference from a man. You are ontologically equal to a man. That's the biblical point. But our roles are different. So men are called to protect women and children. That's common sense. I mean, common sense would tell you, just as I used that illustration in the NBA, that there's a separation in sports. You have the WNBA and the NBA. And it would be wrong to try to have a woman mix it up on the court with Shaquille O'Neal. It just makes common sense that you wouldn't do that. It's degrading to a woman to be put in that kind of a situation. And I think that, you know, obviously a woman can't be put in that situation in the NBA, and in the same way, I don't think she should be put in that situation on the military front. again, I think the biblical precedent is that the role of a man is to protect and honor and defend a woman, as opposed to having that role reversed. So it's a matter of role.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
God bless you as well. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Carrie. She's listening in Memphis, Tennessee on WCRV. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Hank. How are you? Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question. I've studied the Bible for a long time, and I've been a believer for a long time, and I had someone suggest something that really made me study a little bit more, but it's about the Apostle Paul, and they kind of were casting some doubt on the Apostle Paul and his ministry, and I want you to get me on the right track. What I did, I studied years ago in community Bible study, I studied Galatians, mm-hmm. and understood that and understand that it was written to the Jewish Christians to get them back on track, and to, you know, because I think they had fallen back to you know, following the law and adding some of that back in. And then in Matthew, that was also written to the Jewish Christians, I believe, and Jesus says in Matthew that he's giving a warning about you know, his return and where to look for him and where not to look for him. And he says that he won't be found in the inner room or in the desert. And in my Bible says Arabia. And no, it doesn't. He says, Jesus says he won't be found in the inner room or in the desert. And then Paul says in Galatians that he went to, that he was not taught by any man, that he went to the desert for 14 years. And my question is this, could that or does that mean at all the same thing that Jesus is saying and about not looking for him in the desert? And another thing that I want to know is that when Paul was teaching or saying this, well, I can't remember the second part, but if you could answer that,
yeah.
I'm just...
Well, first of all, it has nothing to do with what Jesus Christ is saying in Matthew chapter 24 with respect to his Olivet Discourse. But in terms of specifically what's going on in Galatians, you have a very clear indication that God set Paul apart from birth, called him by his grace, and was pleased to reveal his son to him so that he might preach him among the Gentiles. In other words, that was his major mission, to preach Christ among the Gentiles, and therefore he is called an apostle to the Gentiles. But he is not an apostle exclusively to the Gentiles, because the gospel is for people of every tongue and tribe and language and people, and God does not separate people on the base of race. God is not a racist in any sense. So the notion that follows where Paul says, I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I immediately went into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. What most likely is going on there is he is not going to Arabia to evangelize, although I'm certain that he did evangelize in Arabia, but rather he went to Arabia to spend time alone with the Lord, to study and receive further revelation. So you see that Paul is continually being directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. For example, in Acts 20, he says, and now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race, complete the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. So the Holy Spirit is leading him, directing him. He's reliant on the Holy Spirit for where he should go and where he should proclaim.
Well, what I'm wondering too, I appreciate it, and I'm wondering about this. Was when Paul had his Damascus Road experience.
Mm-hmm.
No one else saw it. And was he still under the Jewish, I mean, would he have to adhere to the Jewish law? I mean, they had to have witnesses or something. And I know Jesus didn't have to because he was his own witness.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul, there was no one else there. I just want you to tell me. I mean, Jesus said, don't look for him in the desert. And does that not have anything to do with Paul being in the desert?
No, absolutely nothing to do with Paul being in the desert. And secondly, as far as what happened with Paul's conversion, there were people with him. There were men traveling with Paul, and they stood there speechless as they saw what was happening. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. So they heard the sound, they didn't see anyone, is what the text says. And when Saul got up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he couldn't see himself. And therefore, the people that were with him led him by the hand into Damascus.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, always appreciate your answers, and I'll tell you, it's nice to know that you're there, that we can call and find out the truth. And
as far as the Olivet Discourse is concerned, I've written about that in detail, explicated it in a book called The Apocalypse Code. It might be helpful to give some kind of orientation for what's going on there, what questions Christ is addressing there, and how the language that he's using comes directly out of the Old Testament. So the codebreaker to understand what Jesus Christ is saying in those apocalyptic passages comes from other passages in Scripture, and I lay all of that out. The whole story of Paul's conversion and God's revelation to Ananias that Paul had seen the Lord in Acts and that he was blinded shows another witness. So he is not the sole witness. Ananias is a witness of Paul's conversion, as well as the men who were flabbergasted, no doubt, that Paul had been accosted by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord to Damascus, something that he most surely proclaimed to them. But one of the things you find in this passage as well, and I think this is instructive, is that while God normatively works through human agency, he doesn't absolutely axiomatically have to work through human agency. He can directly deal with the person as well.
I see. I appreciate it so much. I will definitely get your book and look through that and find out more about what Jesus is saying and what he means when he is telling us where to look for him and where not to look for him. And I am in Revelations. This is what got me started. I was looking in Revelations, and it says that the whole world could be deceived except for the elect, and that we will all be surprised.
And Christ is the elect one. And if we are in him, by virtue of that, we are elect, and we will never be surprised because we're held in the hand of the Savior himself. I'm going to have to leave it at that just because of time. Kerry, good talking to you. God bless you as you continue to read the Bible for all it's worth. That's one of our missions and goals. It's one of our values to help people read the Bible for all it's worth. That's what I do. In the Apocalypse Code, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, available online at equip.org. They can also talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. And I'll be right back with more answers to your questions. Please don't touch that dial.
It's not too much to say that truth is under siege in the postmodern world. So often, those who see truth as relative, subjective, or pragmatic are seen as tolerant and enlightened. Conversely, those who see truth as objective and grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ are considered intolerant or even arrogant. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, but we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment.
Has God spoken? Muslims say the Quran is the word of God, and likewise, Mormons claim the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. But has God really spoken through the Quran or the Book of Mormon, or has God spoken through the Bible? As a Christian, knowing the answer to this question is essential to defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, we want to equip you with the wisdom to answer this question decisively and to remember the answer for a lifetime. Passionately delivered at the 2010 National Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, Hank Hanegraaff's message titled, Has God Spoken?, definitely answers that very question. To support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and request your copy of Has God Spoken? On audio CD, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-274. We now return to the program with Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder, all this month, a CD available for your gift to the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. It's titled, Has God Spoken? If there is a more significant question, I'm wholly unaware of what it might be. Muslims answer by pointing to the Quran as God's only credible, uncorrupted revelation. Mormons are certain that God has spoken through a revelation called the Book of Mormon. But has God really spoken through the Quran or the Watchtower or the Book of Mormon? Or has God spoken through the Holy Bible? As a Christian, knowing the answer to that question is essential in defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, I want to equip you with the wisdom to answer that question decisively as well, and to remember your answer for a lifetime. So again, order Has God Spoken on CD, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, for your gift to keep us on the air, to keep our various ministries circling the globe, touching lives for time and for eternity. Order on the web at equip.org. when you write me, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI, we need your prayers. We need your tangible financial support. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing, and you are that someone. Do what you can. Make a difference while there is yet time. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Diane, listening in Bella Vista, Arkansas. Hi, Diane.
Hello, Hank. It is such an honor to talk with you.
Likewise.
I wanted to talk to you about the passage in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, when God said, "Let us make man in our image," mm-hmm. and then he created man in his own image. I heard a pastor on the radio recently say that this only referred to Adam and Eve, that after the fall, we were no longer made in God's image, that we were then made in Adam's image. And I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, well, we are made in the image of God. We are not reproductions of God, obviously, but we are reflections of God. And that's what it means to be made in the image of God. The image is marred, but the image is certainly not erased. That humans are created in God's image simply means that they share in a finite, imperfect way what's called the communicable attributes of God. And among those attributes are personality and spirituality and rationality and knowledge and wisdom and morality, including goodness and holiness and righteousness, which are characteristics that we must emulate, although we do that imperfectly. Love and justice and mercy. We see that in the Bible. And so, again, we reflect those communicable attributes. But there are incommunicable attributes as well. Omniscience, transcendence, omnipresence, omnipotence. These are attributes of God that find no reflection in men. And that's why we can say we are not reproductions, but only reflections of those moral or communicable attributes of God.
So we don't have to wait until we have been recreated as Christians to be considered God's image.
Well, the image is marred. The image that is marred will be restored in the new heavens and the new earth, because then there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. So now we reflect God's communicable attributes imperfectly, then they will be perfect. Which is to say, right now we reflect God's righteousness, but palely. Then we will reflect God's righteousness wholly, because we will be wholly righteous. We are now only in position righteous, then we will be in practice righteous.
But before salvation, can we still say we're made in His image?
Yes, we still are made in His image, though the image is marred.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. Well, I appreciate that, hearing that. It was really a shock when I was... created after Adam.
Yeah, God has made human beings the crowning jewels of His creation, and even in eternity, those who reject Him will be sustained in existence, albeit apart from His goodness and His grace.
Right. Well, thank you so much, and may God continue to bless you.
God bless you as well. I want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to George. George is listening in Youngstown, Ohio. Hi, George.
Hi, Hank. Hank, I just have a question for you as far as how to cope with the situation, maybe from Scripture. You can give me help. I was taking care of my dad for the past 4 years at his home. He was on medications, and in particular, a Coumadin, it's a blood thinner. Mm-hmm. And at any rate, somehow I got things mixed up, Hank. And I was giving him more than he should have been receiving. And what happened, he was rushed to the hospital, and they got medication out of his system, though, and back to that. And we got him home, and that we had hospice in there. He was okay for 3 days, but then he just stopped eating and drinking water. So I thought that... being my mistake, that it enhanced his death. And I was wondering how somehow I could cope with that.
Yeah, George, we live in an imperfect world. Your intentions were good. And what I'd like to do for you is just pray that God will give you the peace that passes all understanding. Father, we thank you for George and for the life of his father. And Lord, we confess that we are frail and imperfect. We make mistakes. That's part of our human condition. I pray, Father, that you would give George peace, the balm of Gilead. Let him know that you have forgiven him. Let him know that the opportunity to spend eternity with his father is an opportunity that you have freely given to us. Father, I pray that you will do what none of us can do. We can't walk in his shoes, but you can. I haven't experienced what George has experienced, but you have. And so, Father, I pray that you would heal his heart and his mind and give him true peace, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. George, was your dad a believer?
Yeah, well, he's from a Catholic background, but as far as we talked about grace and issues and about Jesus died for our sins and that, he understood that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't be with your dad now, but you can be with your dad for all eternity, and you can't beat yourself up over this. Don't beat yourself up over this. It's easy for me to say. It's harder for you to apply, and I recognize that. But please understand that God affords all of us abundant grace for all of our mistakes. And Lord knows we make mistakes in small and large ways every single day. Your intent was obviously to help your father and not to hurt your father. And I think you can live with that peace.
Thank you, Hank. And God bless you in your ministry.
God bless you, my friend. We'll continue to pray for you, and I'll remember as a family as well to pray for you tonight.
Thank you very much.
You got it.
Bye.
Bye. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Garth in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Garth.
Hi, how are you? We spoke about original sin, and I went home and did some studying and some thinking, and I've got another question for
okay.
you. Okay, so here's kind of the gist of it. If original sin is a human condition, and Jesus Christ was fully human when he became incarnate, is he, did he have original sin as well, or is he the perfect being free of sin that is requisite in many soteriologies for, you know, to act as the Paschal Lamb?
Yeah.
So I guess really my question is, did Jesus have original sin? If not, I think you get it.
Yeah, I get the question. And here's how I would answer that. Adam was created good. In other words, Adam was created without a sin nature. A sin nature, therefore, is not essential to a human nature. Therefore, Christ can be fully human as he was without having a sin nature. So the answer to the question in simple terms is no, Christ did not have a sin nature because a sin nature is not essential to a human nature. It is true that Adam fell into a life of perpetual sin, terminated by death, and that all of us bear the blot of original sin. We've all ratified, in fact, Adam's sin as well. But Jesus Christ, the second Adam, took on a human nature, but to take on a human nature does not imply that he took on a sin nature, and therefore he could be the Paschal Lamb, the unblemished Lamb upon whom the sins of the world were laid and never be stained by sin himself.
Okay, so then what you're saying is that original sin is not requisite for human nature?
That's correct. I'm saying that you can have a human nature without having a sin nature, and that's precisely how the first Adam was created. He was created without a sin nature. He was created with the ability to act or to act otherwise. Otherwise, love would not be meaningful. Love is only meaningful if there's volition, and therefore, Adam had the ability to choose to serve and obey God or to rebel against God, which is in essence what he did with respect to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
Okay. Do you have any, scripture that I could, look at that to see, sin nature versus human nature and how they might differ other than, like, Adam and, the birth of Christ kind of thing?
Well, that's the point. The point is that Adam was created in such a way that he could, of volition, either respond to God in love and obedience or reject God. So God placed in the garden as a test the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Satan used it, of course, as a temptation, but ultimately it was a test between moral relativism, which is truth in the eyes of the beholder, or trust in God as the arbiter of good and evil. Adam failed the test. He fell into a life of perpetual sin, terminated by death. That's what the Bible's about. The rest of the Bible, then, is God's unfolding plan of redemption, which culminates in the second Adam. That second Adam did what the first Adam could not do. And though the second Adam took on an additional nature, that human nature was not tainted by sin in any way. The temptations that came to Christ were from without. For sin to take place, there has to be an inner response to the outer suggestion by Satan to sin. And since Jesus was divine, he could not respond to temptation. Just like he can't create a rock so heavy that he can't carry it, or he can't make a two-sided triangle or a squared circle.
Okay, well, have a great night.
Thank you so much for your call. We're unfortunately out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday, at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. My apologies to those still hanging on. Hope to have an opportunity to speak to you on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, resources that we talk about on the broadcast is always available at equip.org. When you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000 CRI. Thanks for standing with us prayerfully and financially. Look forward to seeing you on the next edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, check us out on Tumblr, or read Hank's latest thoughts on his blog at hankhanegraaff.blogspot.com. Become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or, as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. Our passion and purpose is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program is ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? To donate, call us at 888-7000-274 or visit us on our website at equip.org. That's equip.org.
You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271.